Welcome to the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team Podcast. I'm your host, David Starr, and in this series, you will hear from leaders across various industries discussing the impact of digital disruption and innovation, sharing how they've used Azure to transform their business. You can find our team online at aka.ms/INDXP or on Twitter at IndustryXP. For a very special set of episodes, we've partnered with Vince Menzione to highlight the thought leadership of our team's principal program managers who are doing great things within their specific industries. And now, your host for this episode, Vince Menzione.
In this special series of the podcast, I sit down with leaders from Microsoft that are helping important sectors of industry to transform and thrive through the use of this innovative cloud technology. In this episode, my guest is David Holding, worldwide industry lead for healthcare on the newly created Industry Experiences team. In this episode, David and I discuss his extensive experience and background in the healthcare industry, the transformation going on in healthcare, emerging technologies like blockchain, AI, and machine learning as part of Microsoft and Azure's commitment to the segment, and why customers and partners should invest here. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Microsoft and the Industry Experiences team. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for taking the time today. You're the principal healthcare lead, and you focus on the healthcare industry worldwide as part of this newly organized Microsoft C&E team under Paul Mayer. I'm excited to hear from you about your role and focus, Microsoft and Azure's value proposition around healthcare, this amazing transformation going on, and why it matters to customers and partners. So welcome.
Thanks. Yeah. So the role is really focused 100% on healthcare. And by healthcare, you know, provider healthcare, like hospitals, payer healthcare, the health insurers, pharmaceuticals, life sciences, and worldwide, as you said. But the role is really to understand and track healthcare trends, right? What are the challenges? What are the pain points? What are the strategies going forward? What are the business goals? And it's to identify opportunities for Microsoft and Azure to really empower the healthcare organizations to better achieve those business goals. So generally in achieving a business goal, there's lots of things that need to be done and satisfied. Some of those, if we think of it as a puzzle, you know, some of those puzzle pieces are technology, but some are not. And so we're really striving to help the healthcare industry and organizations understand what are all the pieces of the puzzle to solve a business problem or achieve a business goal. And then, you know, how does technology fit into that? Now, the typical, you know, business goals for healthcare, they can be, you know, reducing healthcare costs. Healthcare has become incredibly expensive. There's a real affordability issue. Improving the quality of patient care and improving patient outcomes are key business goals. So cloud computing is a very key technology within the portfolio for Microsoft and is particularly relevant in terms of helping to reduce healthcare costs and helping to enable some of those new transformative technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain, Internet of Things, or Internet of Medical Things, as we say. And, you know, another part of the role is also to help healthcare organizations understand how to manage security, privacy, compliance, to achieve compliance with regulations and data protection laws, which is very important in the use of any technology, but especially cloud computing.
And I want to differentiate for our listeners here who might know a little bit about Microsoft and healthcare, in that there is both a healthcare sales organization at Microsoft and a healthcare industry team. And your role is differentiated in that it's in the C&E or the engineering organization, or C&AI, I believe it's now called. And that's different. And your focus is a little bit different. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So the C is for cloud and E is for enterprise. And of course, we all know what AI or artificial intelligence is. So the sales organization or the sales part of healthcare at Microsoft is really tasked with supporting sales, individual sales, you know, worldwide. And we have a massive and outstanding team, deep domain knowledge and connections into the healthcare industry. Now, where my role and my team differs is we're really focused on the industry as a whole, not specific sales events. We may participate on specific engagements with healthcare organizations to stay grounded, get proof points, case studies, success stories, that kind of thing. But we're really looking to help the industry as a whole understand, you know, again, what are the trends, challenges, pain points, strategies, and how can they achieve their business goals using technology?
And from what I understand as well, you're part of a feedback loop back to the engineering organization on what
what's needed. Yeah, so that's another aspect of the role is we call it voice of the customer. So in tracking the trends and the challenges and pain points and so on, we can see what's coming down the pipeline from a healthcare industry standpoint worldwide, and we act as a feedback loop back into the engineering groups at Microsoft to help them understand what are the future needs as they're planning out their next generation solutions.
And you recently joined Microsoft. You have an extensive background in healthcare and this vertical specifically. I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and how you got to this spot in your life and career.
Yeah, so over 24 years of experience in total, a lot of that in healthcare and security, privacy, compliance, very deep in that aspect. I got certified in security and privacy some time ago. Is such a critical component for healthcare that's heavily regulated. A lot of regulations like HIPAA and data protection laws like GDPR, et cetera, worldwide. And healthcare is obviously very, very cautious in, you know, how they protect the sensitive healthcare information. So got into security, privacy, compliance. More recently, blockchain and AI machine learning as it relates to both security and blockchain. So as far as healthcare is concerned, I started off in the sort of payer side of healthcare, so the health insurance, and they're tasked with managing, you know, membership and eligibility to a payer. Patient is known as a member of the health plan, and eligibility of the rules regarding, you know, what kind of benefits you can get on the plan, what kind of services are covered, that kind of thing. But, you know, managing claims adjudication and all that side of it. Then I actually worked for Intel for over 10 years, great team, great mission, and was director of healthcare privacy and security with the Intel Health and Life Sciences team. And so a very similar role, I was focused 100% on healthcare, also, you know, providers, payers, pharmaceutical, life sciences, also worldwide, very deep on the security, privacy, compliance side of healthcare. And that's where I got into blockchain and AI machine learning. But it was very broadly focused, so not just payer. It was all the different segments, and just like my role at Microsoft, very broadly focused across the whole, you know, healthcare industry, all of the segments.
So new to Microsoft, as we discussed, but what was the best piece of advice you received when you took this role, or what was the biggest insight you've had since you took this role?
You know, there's the things you learn during orientation, which was very smooth, by the way, very impressive. One of the softer things is that you learn as you get into the organization is there's just so much knowledge and talent and expertise across the organization. And it's really about networking and collaboration. So reaching out and making contact and, you know, just collaborating on goals and solutions to make sure we put the best solution forward as an organization.
So healthcare is a fascinating area in this transformation, right? So because it is so critical to saving and improving lives and longevity, and we all experience or intersect with healthcare at some point in our lives. This transformation has been accelerating, and I'm hoping you could share with our listeners what you've been seeing happening, and maybe something you're seeing happen now that you didn't even expect to see a year or 18 months ago in this transformation.
Yeah, there's super exciting things happening across healthcare and many, many things happening concurrently, you know, whether it's AI machine learning being applied to diagnostic imaging, for dermatology or radiology, or, you know, VR or virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality being applied to, you know, patient engagement, training of healthcare workers, planning of surgeries, blockchain to enable whole new, you know, levels of collaboration across consortiums of healthcare organizations. You know, all these things are going on in parallel. And so there's a lot of transformation in healthcare as far as, you know, technology is concerned. Internet of medical things, kind of like IoT, but for healthcare, Internet of medical things is, you know, poised to acquire unprecedented levels of data from inside patients, from on patients, from around patients. And, you know, that's going to feed the analytics, the AI machine learning, which will deliver whole new levels of insights into, you know, healthcare. And near real time. So it's really going to change the method of healthcare delivery and greatly improve things, I think. The emergence of 5G is another one. So the 5G wireless, you know, is going to pave the way for all kinds of new healthcare workloads, if you will, to be run from the cloud. As you may know, 5G has very low latency, so less than 1 millisecond. It's a super high bandwidth, so up to, I think it's 10 gigabits per second. And, you know, just can support a much larger density of Internet of Things. So if you can imagine all these different sensors, and many of them are going to be healthcare related, Internet of Medical Things, especially in urban environments, could have an incredibly dense sort of network of things collecting data for the benefit of healthcare. So yeah, this is super exciting things going on in healthcare and transforming healthcare concurrently on multiple fronts.
So you mentioned a couple points here. One is the Internet of Medical Things. That's a new term for me, but I believe it's medical devices and IoT, sort of kind of a hybrid between those two terms. So that's all of the wearable devices, but it's also the diagnostic devices in hospital or in doctor's offices as well.
Absolutely. It could be anything from, you know, devices that are even inpatients, on patients, you know, like wearables, as you mentioned, in any kind of healthcare setting in the patient room. It could be specialized equipment like MRI machines and so forth. But any device that is wirelessly or connected and, you know, is collecting data that's used for the delivery of healthcare.
And you also mentioned 5G. And when you mentioned that, I was thinking more about the 20 million Americans that don't have high-speed broadband and patient care that can be delivered to those communities, those rural communities in the United States and elsewhere that aren't able to be provided today because of the lack of bandwidth.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll actually enable, you know, high-speed internet access, you know, via wide area, you know, wireless wide area networks. So very exciting in terms of enabling a much more even access to the internet and to healthcare services. You know, a lot of healthcare services are being delivered. A lot of patient engagement is happening. So whether it's healthcare providers, healthcare payers, they're creating patient portals. They're engaging patients in whole new ways via apps and even devices and wearables. And, you know, this kind of improved access will really help to pave the way for that kind of engagement.
It's exciting times.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot going on and keeps my job interesting because, you know, the trends are always changing and there's new technologies emerging, new use cases emerging. And so it definitely keeps me engaged.
So I've seen you written some articles on blockchain and you mentioned blockchain earlier. So I'd like to dive in a little bit more here because there's a lot of excitement coming from you and the team here around blockchain. Can you expand here on some of the work that's going on for blockchain in healthcare?
Yeah. So blockchain is, you know, I think of it as a middleware. It's a middleware between a consortium of healthcare organizations. So whether it's providers, payers, pharmaceuticals, or life sciences, a network of healthcare organizations, which can collaborate via blockchain. And so blockchain is really this shared ledger that the organizations in the consortium can write and read from and, you know, can actually have executable code as well in the form of smart contracts. So it creates a whole new level of collaboration amongst consortiums of healthcare organizations. And in contrast, you know, without blockchain, you know, all the data has been in these sort of centralized databases inside organizations. There's been limited, if any, sharing of data. And I think this general realization that, you know, a portion of the data that's sort of captured by healthcare organizations today could be shared for the benefit of, you know, achieving business goals, including improving the quality of healthcare, improving patient outcomes, and reducing the cost of healthcare. What's been lacking in the past is just a way to do that sharing and that sort of collaboration, a targeted and secure manner. And that's what blockchain enables. So, you know, where we're seeing blockchain take hold early on is, you know, amongst networks of healthcare organizations that already exist and blockchains being dropped in and delivering new value in terms of, you know, eliminating single points of failure, making things much more transparent, efficient, enabling new business models. So examples are drug supply chain. So in drug supply chain, you know, medication is produced by pharmaceutical companies. It's sent to distributors pass it on to dispensaries or, you know, pharmacies. And so tracking drugs through that supply chain, one can root out counterfeit drugs, which are unsafe, and get new levels of transparency for all the players in the supply chain for the benefit of operational efficiency and cost reduction. At the point of dispensing the drugs or medicines, the pharmacist and patient or family caregiver can verify the authenticity, the provenance, and the safety of the medicine, which can be very important if it's coming over a channel like the internet, right? So that's just one area where blockchain can be applied. There's medical device track and trace. So similar to drug supply chain, but tracking medical devices from manufacturing through, you know, point of sale and then through their life cycle of use, even multiple life cycles of use. So if there's a, you know, a recall on a particular type of medical device, one can look up very quickly on blockchain which are exactly the devices that are affected and execute that recall in, you know, days instead of a year or more, which it takes today. And this real patient safety benefits in being able to accelerate that kind of recall. There's provider credentialing, you know, tracking doctors' credentials on blockchain and the verification of those credentials. You know, doctors can only practice once they're first they have to have the right credentials, but those credentials have to be verified by each organization they work for. So some doctors work at multiple hospitals and that verification needs to be done, you know, every 2 years. So there's a huge amount of redundant effort in just verifying credentials. So blockchain can be used to have those credentials, record the verification of those credentials, eliminate a lot of that redundancy, accelerate the time to doctors being able to practice, and there's real benefits and cost reductions associated with that. So there's literally about 10 use cases that we're working on with partners as far as blockchain in healthcare, but super exciting.
It is exciting. You brought up some use case examples that I didn't even think about. I knew about the product recall aspects and sort of the supply chain aspects with product attestation, but you brought up a couple of other examples that I just hadn't thought about. What about from hospital organization to providers back and forth? Isn't there a specific use case you might appeal? I'd like you to peel back on that one a little bit because I think you touched on it.
Yeah. So in the US, we have, you know, providers and payers are separate, kind of a private healthcare system. And there are exceptions to that, integrated delivery networks. Some organizations are both providers and payers, but generally providers like hospitals are separate from payers like health insurance companies. And there's one use case that we call a clearinghouse use case, which today there's an organization, an intermediary, if you will, that's called a clearinghouse that sits between providers and payers. So when you go to a doctor or a hospital and you get a service, there's literally transactions that go through the clearinghouse between the provider and the payer, such as, you know, an eligibility check. Are you eligible for this particular service? Do you have this benefit on your health plan? Pre-authorization. So, you know, can we pre-authorize for this expensive procedure to make sure that we're going to get reimbursed? Submission of the actual claim once the service has been delivered. Checking on claim status, remittance advice. Those are all transactions that typically go through a clearinghouse. Now, a clearinghouse is a hub and spoke architecture. So the clearinghouse is the hub and the spokes are the connections out to the different providers and payers. Where blockchain can add value there is blockchain can be the middleware, the mechanism whereby the providers collaborate directly with the payers. So there's no hub, there's no single point of failure. There's a lot of cost reduction associated with that, with the transactions propagating through blockchain versus through this centralized single point of failure. And so there's a clearinghouse use case in healthcare for blockchain that is delivering very compelling benefits. It's one of the leading use cases and there's active pilots going on right now.
And so taking out some of the cost as well, right? All this paperwork, all this yep. validation and processing that goes on right now in our system.
Yep. And accelerating, right? Because it happens pretty much real time, right? As a transaction appears on the blockchain, it's instantly visible pretty much across the blockchain network and can be processed and results returned without having to go through an intermediary, which can often add significant delays and also eliminates the single point of failure. So if, you know, today, if a clearinghouse goes down, the providers have essentially lost their connection with the payers, that you don't have that problem with blockchain because there is no single point of failure.
So I know Microsoft has a solution for blockchain on Azure. Can you expand a little bit more about Microsoft's offerings in that area?
Yeah, so we have the Azure Blockchain Workbench, which is a rapid prototyping environment for blockchain, and it can be used for healthcare, but also other industries. And the notion is being able to access this cloud environment that has this Azure Blockchain Workbench, being able to define your use case, whether it's clearinghouse or drug supply chain or medical device track and trace or pretty much any use case, defining that use case, defining the parameters around it, what kind of data will be stored on the blockchain, et cetera, being able to push a button and project the deliverables, the deployment artifacts onto one of three mainstream blockchain production blockchain platforms: Ethereum Enterprise, R3 Corda, Hyperledger Fabric, and being able to spin up, you know, blockchain nodes in the cloud, in Azure, to be able to test it. This is really important right now because healthcare and many other industries are just getting into the point of piloting blockchain. And so this kind of rapid prototyping environment where you can quickly get up and running with your blockchain and start testing, find out what works well, find out what you can improve, iterate and improve and evolve. This is what's really needed. And so this gives a path for healthcare organizations or any type of organization that wants to pilot blockchain, a fast path to create that prototype, get it up and running quickly in the cloud, you know, as opposed to having to ship hardware to each organization that's going to participate in the blockchain. They have to stand it up in their DMZ. They have to open up firewall ports, et cetera. That's a long process, right? You can just spin up a blockchain node in the cloud, have it join the blockchain network and get to piloting and focusing on the sort of business logic, the application logic, and improving and iterating and evolving.
And I've read some of what you've written, and you know, blockchain is not a panacea for all applications. And I believe you even talked about like transaction volumes being a factor here with transaction rates and response times.
Yeah, that's a great point. So blockchain is, it's network bound. What we mean by that is its performance is determined by sort of network characteristics, in particular, the latency of the network, the bandwidth of the network to some extent, but most importantly, the consensus algorithm or protocol whereby the blockchain nodes communicate with each other to maintain the consistency and validity of the shared ledger. And so different blockchains have different consensus algorithms, and those have different performance characteristics. To give you a sort of idea of the scope of those, you know, very public, extremely decentralized, untrusted network like Bitcoin can't make assumptions about organizations and level of trust. So the consensus algorithm needs to be very aggressive. And so the net effect of that is the throughput is quite low. It can be less than 10 blocks per second committed to the Bitcoin blockchain. In contrast, what we're talking about in healthcare and most enterprise sort of uses of blockchain is what we call a private consortium blockchain that is sort of, think of it as a blockchain island. It's a blockchain, but it's only accessible by the organizations in that consortium that are very well known, very highly trusted. Now, when you have an environment like that, you don't have to have an extremely aggressive and low throughput sort of consensus algorithm. You can have a very streamlined consensus algorithm that gets very high throughput. For example, COCO framework that Microsoft's also working on stands for Confidential Consortium Framework. This is a type of blockchain platform that streamlines the consensus algorithm to get a much higher throughput in terms of blocks per second. And it can get up to, I think it's roughly 2,000 blocks per second peak. But the other aspect of COCO framework and, you know, enterprise blockchains for private consortium blockchain use, they're often much stronger on the security side. Like COCO framework has this notion of secure enclaves inside blockchain nodes. So being able to protect the confidentiality and integrity of core code and data, and essentially having these secure enclaves at the core of each blockchain node being connected to the other blockchain nodes via secure links, so SSL or TLS links, gives you a very, very secure blockchain network such that even if malware landed on one of those nodes, one of those endpoints, it would be much more difficult for that malware to compromise the confidentiality or integrity of that blockchain network or the data that's being exchanged.
Some really exciting information you're sharing here, David, and I'm hoping you're going to provide some links for our users, our listeners, in the show notes.
Absolutely, happy to do that. And you know, Azure Blockchain Workbench is a great place to get started to start prototyping and learning and piloting your blockchain, whatever your use case.
So we also talked about another hot topic, AI. It's getting a lot of attention with Microsoft and other organizations today. Can you peel back a little bit more on the whole AI initiative within Microsoft and Azure and the use case example specifically? You touched on a couple of things like diagnostics and the like, but maybe you can go into that a little bit deeper for our listeners.
Yeah, so AI and machine learning, according to Accenture, AI can potentially create $150 billion of annual savings in the U.S. healthcare economy by 2026. So just wow. Phenomenal potential. And the growth in AI health market is expected to reach, I think, 6.6 billion by 2021. So incredible potential and growth trajectory for AI and machine learning in healthcare. The use cases where it's being applied, super exciting, is things like diagnostic imaging. So if you get like dermatology, if you take, you know, a photograph of a mole on your skin, being able to run that through AI machine learning and have it tell you, hey, this mole, we need to do a biopsy because it has a high probability of being malignant. Or, hey, this mole is not an issue. This one is, there's a 99% confidence. This is not a malignant, no biopsy required. Things like, you know, radiology, if you get an X-ray or any kind of radiology, MRI, being able to run that through AI machine learning to identify anomalies, like it looks like there might be a tumor here, you know, to help radiologists. So they're not looking at thousands and thousands of images a day, but, you know, they can use AI and machine learning as a tool to enable them to rapidly identify anomalies and focus more on, you know, patient care, sort of up-level their job, if you will. That's another super exciting area. And, you know, oftentimes when patients get diagnostic imaging, they come in with a certain complaint and there's a certain assumption about, hey, the patient probably has this kind of situation. Let's run this MRI to verify it. But sometimes that assumption is wrong. And what AI machine learning can help with is it can basically do a comprehensive, or you can actually have multiple AI machine learning models that get applied to an image to determine if there could be other issues at play. So imagine, you know, 1,000 different models applied to this one image to look for 1,000 different conditions, way more than a radiologist could ever do. And some of these conditions are so rare that a radiologist in their career may encounter like one or two or maybe none of them, right? So, but that can be captured in a model. And so being able to run these images through AI machine learning models and triage, look for secondary issues that may not have been seen by the original, you know, consult with the provider, and being able to triage, like, okay, these 1,000 images that were taken today, these three need to be looked at immediately because they've got life-threatening issues that may not have been seen before. So having AI machine learning help the radiologist in terms of those 1,000, look at these three ones next because the patients are in imminent danger. Super exciting and can be done nearly real time. And so these can run in the cloud very efficiently, right? They can scale up as if 1,000 images come through in a batch, you can scale up your compute to process that very quickly versus if you had to buy the hardware and have it on premise, you know, it would take a lot of capital first off, a big IT team to maintain that. And, you know, healthcare is trying to cut costs and, you know, maintaining big teams and huge capital expenditure like that is seen as a factor in terms of the cost of healthcare. So anything healthcare can do, especially on the provider side, to reduce costs is a good thing for everyone, including patients. So AI machine learning also has a very strong intersect with blockchain. So one of the things with AI machine learning and training models is there's always this lack of data, right? If you're running AI machine learning within one organization, you've got access to whatever data that organization has in its particular sort of silo of data. But blockchain opens up the possibility of a consortium of healthcare organizations being able to collaborate on blockchain and AI machine learning so they can share data, they can collaborate on training models and achieve much better models. You know, the data that goes into training models can be tracked from a provenance standpoint. It can be filtered out to get the highest quality data. You can have audit information on blockchain so you can unwind and, you know, if you have an issue with a particular model, say it's determined to be biased, you can go back and see exactly what data went into training it and root out the data that, you know, biased your model. Being able to track results that come out of a model and the validation of those results across a consortium of healthcare organizations allows the consortium to learn to trust that model much faster than would be the case of, you know, each individual organization goes at it alone. So there's a strong intersect with AI machine learning and cloud and blockchain. There's also a strong intersect between AI machine learning and security. You know, a lot of security is about detection and remediation. And one of the things artificial intelligence and machine learning can do is monitor, you know, network traffic, for example, NetFlow logs and so forth, and determine anomalies, determine, hey, there's this malware that's on this medical device that's beaconing to its command and control server. And that's sort of what we call a weak signal. Essentially, maybe, you know, one packet on a network, the AI machine learning can catch that and say, hey, there's some malware on that medical device. Let's get in there and remediate and clean it up. So being able to have AI machine learning watching over the healthcare organization and detect any kind of anomalies, any kind of malware, any kind of hacking attempt, and alert the security team with high confidence. So you're not barraging the healthcare security team with too many false positives, but just really high quality alerts that are real events, malware or, you know, vulnerabilities in the system that need to be remediated.
So you unpacked quite a bit of very exciting information there, right? So first off, I'm just summarizing here on the AI side, not only taking out billions and billions of dollars of cost, but improving lives, right? Being able to diagnose situations that may not have been diagnosed before.
Absolutely.
You talked about blockchain as sort of a democratization, if you will, of the data. So the data could be anonymized and shared more broadly across multiple organizations.
So there are some use cases where data can be de-identified or anonymized. But there's many use cases where that doesn't have to happen. And in fact, you may not want to do that. There could be a need to have some what we call PII or personally identifiable information fields. Now, for example, if you're doing a particular healthcare study, you may need to know the approximate age of the patient or the zip code that they live in. And so you may not always want to anonymize or de-identify the data. The other aspect with blockchain is you don't actually have to share the actual data on the blockchain. And there may be good privacy, security, compliance, and performance reasons why you don't want to do that. Rather, what you can put on the blockchain is metadata about the data. Mm. So for example, say you go into a doctor's office, you get an x-ray. What can go on the blockchain is, hey, this patient, you know, referenced by a unique identifier, not your social security number or something dangerous like that, just a unique identifier for that particular blockchain. This patient went to this facility on this date, got this x-ray. This is the nature of the x-ray, the resolution, what part of the body, et cetera. And, you know, here's a pointer to where the actual data exists. So the healthcare organization that has the actual x-ray, and here's a hash code to verify the integrity of the data. And that can facilitate the discovery of that data and the location of that data and the subsequent secure peer-to-peer direct exchange. So not through the blockchain, but direct exchange of that data between organizations. So if you go to another provider, then let's say a specialist, and they say, have you had any x-rays lately? And you say, yes, there is one. Or they could go to the blockchain and search and see, oh, there was an x-ray on this date. That looks exactly the kind of x-ray that we need. And they can initiate a secure request for that x-ray, not have to do the x-ray again, which adds cost to the healthcare system and inconvenience to the patient. And frankly, it's not good to be radiated by x-rays too much. Blockchain can really facilitate a win-win in terms of, again, enabling that collaboration between healthcare organizations for the benefit of the patient.
And you mentioned a third area around machine learning and malware, but I think about the ransomware attacks that have happened in the healthcare provider communities for the last year or so. And so you might want to, I don't know if there's a specific thing you want to talk about there, but.
Yeah, so ransomware has been a huge pain point in healthcare, especially healthcare providers where, you know, any disruption to service can be a quality of patient care issue, and in some cases, a patient safety issue, right? If they have to turn patients away because they haven't got any IT because ransomware has locked up their system, that can be a safety issue depending on the patient condition. So, you know, ransomware has been a huge pain point. When ransomware takes hold in an organization, it can leave signatures on the network that, you know, AI and machine learning can help detect. And one of the things with ransomware is the quicker you catch it, the quicker you can quarantine it and remediate it. So if ransomware takes hold in a particular subnet of the network of the healthcare organization and it's detected very quickly via a weak signal, like it tried to call its command and control server, and, you know, AI machine learning caught that, and immediately the security team was on it. They quarantined that network, that machine maybe, and, you know, disconnected it so that ransomware can't proliferate through the network. They can radically decrease the impact of that disruption event.
So if I'm a customer or a partner looking to engage, why should I consider Azure?
So Azure has a very strong presence in the enterprise space. Many, many security, privacy, compliance features. It's not just, you know, here's infrastructure as a service, have at it. There's deep sort of healthcare domain expertise, blueprints, services that can be used to achieve compliance, to achieve security and privacy. And Azure has a very strong hybrid cloud solution offering. So many healthcare organizations have some workloads that need to run on-prem and some that can run in the Azure cloud. And being able to support both of those with the hybrid cloud from Azure is a great advantage from a healthcare organization standpoint. Also, you know, healthcare organizations, when they have a business challenge or a business need, they need a solution, a holistic solution. They don't just need a technology and a project, if you will. They need to understand how to solve their particular challenge. or achieve their particular goal. And some of the puzzle pieces of that solution are not technology. And so, you know, one of the areas that Microsoft's very strong as well is in its industry focus. We literally have thousands of people, including doctors on staff, nurses on staff, worldwide focused on healthcare that have deep domain expertise and speak healthcare language, understand healthcare trends, healthcare needs, healthcare challenges, etc. And, you know, they can help the healthcare organizations understand this is all the puzzle pieces you need to solve your need. And, you know, here are the puzzle pieces that are technology, and here's how Azure can help within that puzzle or that need. So it's being able to get that kind of help where it's not just about standing up a VM and, you know, have at it, and here's a project for you, an IT project, because a lot of healthcare organizations, especially providers, they don't have big IT teams. They don't have many security people on staff. Some of them don't even have a chief security officer. So being able to partner with Microsoft around Azure and get the benefit of that security, privacy, compliance expertise, that healthcare domain knowledge, that hybrid cloud to achieve that whole solution, all the puzzle pieces, again, not just the technology ones, is really an advantage to the healthcare organization.
And if I'm a partner, why should I engage with Microsoft in healthcare?
Yeah, so there's a lot of opportunity for partners as well. A lot of partner solutions are hosted in the Azure cloud, and, you know, software as a service, for example, or there's a lot of partners that collaborate with Microsoft around Azure for security, privacy, compliance, or other particular needs, system integration. So there's a lot of interest by the healthcare community in cloud in Azure, and there's many tasks that need to be done to get healthcare up and running on cloud. And, you know, those, to the extent that partners can help accelerate that with high quality, affordable services to healthcare, that's to advantage of everyone. And so that's the opportunity. And, you know, we're very open to working with partners. We love to see solutions running in Azure that are success stories from a healthcare organization standpoint that we can, you know, we can help other healthcare organizations understand here the cost savings you can get, or here the new transformative use cases you can achieve with Azure and with cloud.
So if I'm new to healthcare or I want to learn more, where can I go to find out more information?
Yeah, so if you go to Microsoft Health, microsoft.com/health, that's a good resource. There's ebooks there, there's healthcare solutions, there's case studies, success stories, information on partners and, you know, blueprints that we've created, and much, much more information about Azure and how to get started. There's the Azure Blockchain Workbench, which you can access. You can just search on that and get started with blockchain if that's your interest. But just a ton of information. And also, you know, I'm very active on LinkedIn and Twitter. If you want to reach out to me there, feel free to look at the articles and posts and welcome any feedback. And again, reach out to me with any questions if you want to connect and introduce and explore synergies and opportunities.
So for those listeners who want to reach out to you or they want to follow the articles you've written, what's the link for that?
Yeah. So the LinkedIn, just search on my name in LinkedIn and Twitter. My handle is just @ and David Holding, my name. So very straightforward to find me.
Okay.
And maybe we can post some links in the actual text around the podcast.
We will do that. We will put direct links to your LinkedIn profile and to your Twitter, David Holding, @ David Holding, in the show notes, David. So
perfect.
This is terrific. I want to thank you for taking the time today. This has been a fascinating conversation. Healthcare is so important to all of us. And just to see how the technology and the advances that are happening right now are going to improve things, it's very exciting. The future is very bright for us in healthcare.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Great discussion.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming businesses with Azure. Visit our team at aka.ms/indxp. And don't forget to join us for our next episode.